Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Football Podcast Show number 166. And I know Jim Staples.
Take two.
Is eager to try and mess this up a little bit, because we've just been talking about people putting axes through people's heads.
Yeah.
Basically, Medway, day to day life.
You might feel like doing that to David Moyes at the moment, as a Man United fan on Thursday the 20th. What are we on? 26th?
Wednesday the 26th.
Wednesday the 26th.
But yeah, we'll comment more on that later, because for the first time in ages, we've got more than three, four people. We've got five of us this week. Mike, Jim, Chris, Dan, Andy, back to Mike.
All absolute losers.
Yeah.
This is the losers show.
Apart from Chris,
you keep quiet for a minute.
They still got done by Bayern Munich, so
we all. But that was last week.
We're all nursing our wounds, aren't we? So everyone is. So each of our teams, the last competitive game, we all lost.
Yeah.
Apart from Arsenal.
Yeah, but I mean, it doesn't really matter because Arsenal aren't going to win anything this year, are they?
Oh.
But then that's.
Does that mean
at some point in this season, all of us have lost? Yes. True.
Yeah.
What's...
We all lost.
If Tom Hunter was here, Celtic even lost for the first time in the league the other night.
Proper losers show.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
So it loses.
Celtic lost to Aberdeen.
First league loss of the season.
I like that. That's good. Because, what's his name? Fraser Foster.
Yeah.
Got the record, didn't he, on the weekends for the, in Scotland, the longest clean sheet.
Yeah.
How many minutes was it? It was something ridiculous, wasn't it?
It was Chris Woods, I think, was the previous record holder.
No, it wasn't. It was, Chris Woods might have been the UK record holder, but, no, Edwin van der Sar's the UK record holder. Yeah. Man United.
Chris Woods did have it when he was at Rangers for a while.
No, it wasn't him. It wasn't him.
Might have been beaten since. It might have been Stefan Kloss.
I saw the guy got interviews. I think he was a Hearts player, something like that. That's an incredible. He's got to get looking, hasn't he, soon?
Yeah,
a big lad, isn't he?
I can speak from experience to see him on the plane that time, polishing off paninis like they were going out of business. He's
polishing
massive.
Paninis.
How many paninis are we talking here?
I was sat across from him in the departure lounge, and in about 10 minutes, he'd had two Glasgow.
Okay.
So he had two in about 10 minutes, and they were.
That's
quite
impressive.
Big
I could eat two paninis. I don't think that's that big a deal.
Yeah, but.
I can't.
No, you won't.
No.
Maybe that could be on the show next week. See how many paninis Dan can eat.
If it was two, like whole baguettes, so I'd be impressed with that.
Oh, of course it would. Well, we can get gluten-free paninis.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's a good keeper.
He is.
Regardless of eating ability,
He's not really challenged, though, is he? Week in, week out.
That's the case against, isn't it?
But at the same time, as well, that it's one of those situations where you might only have one or two shots at you, and you've got to stay alert for the whole game.
Yeah,
the amount of times you see a goalkeeper
to keep a clean sheet for that long is good at whatever level.
Or the defence is really good.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
They've got
Virgil van Dijk, who looks a very good little player. But
talking of, and I know you want to go to other things, but while we're talking about England selection,
I really don't want to go on to other things.
Fair enough. No, we'll get there. Roy Hodgson has said that you take a 23-man squad to the World Cup
and a psychologist.
24 if you count the psychologist. Yeah.
But you take 30 men out to, like, Glenn Oddridge. You know when he bumped Gazza from France 98. You take 30 out to, and we're playing Peru and.
Well, we've got a training squad in Portugal and then I think
we're playing.
Then
Peru.
We've got some friendlies in the USA.
Yeah,
so we've got Peru at Wembley, and then we've got, I think, Ecuador and. Somebody else from Central America or South America, someone like
Peru.
Chile or something.
Yeah, Peru.
I don't know. Peru's
playing. He's taking his 30-man squad out there, and what he said, he's going to tell the seven people before they go, you're not in my. You can come with us. You're coming with us, but you're not in my 23.
What's the point of that?
I think it's good.
Well, you need them on standby.
I think it's good. And he on Sky, he said, this is the reason I'm doing it. And there he came.
What was the reason?
Well, this unfortunately, was the footballers' show.
Yeah,
on Sky.
Unfortunately, Glenn Oddridge was sitting on the panel.
Yeah.
The panel was someone at the FA.
No, I heard about this panel.
Gary Neville, Roy Hodgson, and then. Glenn was sitting on the left, and the interviewer was basically saying, so what's the reason behind that? And he was like, well, obviously, harmony wise, it's much better if they go out there not knowing, because he doesn't want to basically sit them all down and go, right, you're not in. He wants the 23 to know they're in so they can get their heads down and concentrate and not worry about, oh, I have to impress in this game or I have to.
Yeah, but the game's their foe's just going to go to Inter instead, isn't it?
But that's
I still don't understand the point
in taking 10 people
like
that aren't going to play. Yeah, I don't get it.
Because if you get injuries out there, everyone takes 30 men. If you get injuries during that tour,
people come in.
Right.
And when Glenn Oddard went out there, he basically said, right, there's 23 places up for grabs. Obviously, you've got your certain people in there, but then you get rifts within the squad, you get squad like
clicks.
clicks.
So if everyone knows who's in the 23.
I think it's so much better.
See, the notable one was in 2002. We went out there with a couple of standbys. I think it was Danny Murphy, Trev Sinclair. No, that was 2006. 2002, a few of them got dropped in. Matt Jansen got dropped as well. Trevor Sinclair flew all the way back. In that time, Stephen Gerrard got injured. So and then back. Danny Murphy, who was the replacement for injured, so he literally flew back.
And he and started then flew against back Sweden,
out.
Didn't he?
He started, he didn't start against Sweden, but he came on against Argentina for Hargreaves. And then he started against Nigeria.
He was having a great season, wasn't he?
Yeah. But the whole thing was, Sinclair flew all the way back to go all the way back out there. It's about 48 hours worth of flights. Whereas you might as well keep him until the very last minute and avoid all that nonsense.
It's all right for you,
it's great for your air miles.
I think that's good. And obviously the seven going out there, they're not definitely not going to the World Cup. Because if they impress and there is an injury, and you would have thought something might happen out there. There might be an injury.
It's very rare that there is. I mean, look at Michael Dawson getting into the last World Cup squad at the last minute, or Martin Kelly.
Yeah.
And Jordan Henderson
and
as well.
The fact of the matter is, they'll probably be, let's be honest, if we put our team on the table now and said, right, this would be, you get your squad of, well, you can use the whole squad now, but say you said 16 or 17 players that you want to use at the World Cup. I bet out of that 16 or 17 we all picked, one of those will probably get injured between now and...
Or not even make the plane.
Yeah.
But, let's be honest, because when Rooney goes down, within a couple of months now, whenever someone goes down, that's a key player, it's going to be like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
Like, well, it's from now, straight away. I'll tell you what's interesting.
At work, we've got a few stacks of different newspapers that have special creative advertising formats. And one of them is from just after the Chile friendly. And they've got all the Mirror writers saying who they think will go to the World Cup and who is still fighting for place. I think some like 3 or 4 out of 5 said Andros Townsend would definitely go. And at the moment, I would probably say I don't think he will go because he's not playing enough for Spurs.
Particularly with Oxlade Chamberlain coming
and
back.
And it just shows there is still time to impress even at the last minute. But on the subject of England, obviously it was the 2016.
Decent draw for that as well.
Decent draw for England.
We've got San Marino.
It's going
to
be.
I wanted to go to San Marino for ages.
It's going
to
be boring.
I'm going to be at San Marino.
Yeah, we haven't played them for ages since like last April. So.
Nah, but I didn't get a chance to go to that.
Why didn't
you go to the away game?
Yeah. Why didn't you go to the away game?
Oh, I was on a stag do.
Oh well, something like that.
I don't know. I didn't go. Couldn't go.
No.
What of it?
I want you to remember, it's like a police investigation. But anyway,
it wasn't glamorous enough for you. It wasn't glamorous enough for you, was it?
Where is San Marino?
It's in the middle.
Northern Italy.
It's like a little prince.
It's not in the middle.
And now it's glamorous. Now it's got all the appeal in the world.
I just always wanted to go to San Marino. One of my first memories watching England was us conceding that goal.
And Stuart Ripley played in that.
Since then,
Stuart Pearce played the back.
I also wanted to go to Andorra. I've been there. Well, I'm
skiing.
No, to watch football.
Oh.
But they played at Barcelona last couple of times we played them, so I was there. That was horrible. David Nugent scored, though. That was a plus.
Yeah.
His only goal, wasn't it?
No, 3-0.
3-0 he scored in the last minute.
No, his only goal.
His only goal. His only cut.
Yeah.
Didn't he nick that goal?
He scored
it. Was.
Off
the line nick.
Gerrard smashed it.
I think it was the first to score.
It was like a yard out.
No, that was the one out in Andorra.
It was in Andorra. It was good fun, because we were there and we got told there was about 20,000 England fans there, and the atmosphere was poisonous as well, because we were 0-0 at half time. But we got told going in, be careful, because the police are like really, really like getting stuck into England fans for no real reason. There'd been a bit of trouble in the centre of Barcelona that day.
Yeah,
it was about 15-16 in our group, and we all went through with absolutely no problems. And we were all waiting for one guy, which is John Moore, who you all know. He came and did a podcast with us a couple of months ago. No. A couple of years ago, actually.
Oh yeah, fucking ages ago.
And, I don't think I know.
We're all standing about 10 yards there, all looking around, like all happy. We've all had a beer, and he was getting checked by the last piece, and he was like, "It's brilliant. There's absolutely no trouble." Put his arms out, so to say, like, "Hey!" And then as he did that, policeman just cracked him with a barrel right on his ribs. I've never seen a bruise like he had to go to the hospital and stuff. No reason for it, because like he was like, "Hey, like, hey,
speaking
no
of
trouble at all."
Just speaking of that, did you see the video footage of the? Galatasaray and Besiktas fans before the game.
Under sixes? The game.
Besiktas.
Oh, I thought you said Galatasaray under sixes fans. I was like,
well, it could be. Could you remember?
What the hell they started early?
Wasn't it Galatasaray who had to have a crowd last season that was purely made up of women and children?
Was that Galatasaray? I don't think it was.
It was one of the Turkish, it might have been Fenerbahce.
Yeah. I think it was Fenerbahce.
They played for blood over there, didn't they?
But yeah. I mean, this CCTV is.
An entire crowd up here. Entire crowd up made of women and children. That sounds like a Charlton home game.
You really don't like Charlton today, do you?
No, I've found out.
Do you see Chrissy Powell doing his little chin-ups?
That's a bit silly, isn't it?
That's one of the main reasons I don't like Charlton. I don't like them anyway because they're scum. I don't like them because they're a nothing club. and also now I don't like them because they stopped the Sheffield Derby at me, which would have been absolutely.
Well, I was talking to a mate of mine who's a Wednesday fan, and he's delighted that they're not through.
Well, the police probably won't be happy because all of the police would have been on overtime, so they'd have been absolutely loving it, and they'd have had so much police there, nothing would have actually happened.
Yeah,
but that's the sort of game where you get someone punching a horse and stuff like that. So maybe it is a good thing. But
well, my mate's a Wednesday fan. He says he's delighted because if they'd actually got through, it's at Bramall Lane, and the Blades would have wanted it so much more that he thinks it just would have been embarrassing.
Why would they have wanted it so much more?
Because
I know about four or five Sheffield Wednesday fans, and like,
yeah, well, this is just one fan's perspective.
Oh, he's a Muppet.
Well, yeah,
get him on the phone.
He's one that we're taking to a meeting to see, so I'll let you tell him yourself.
But the sort of the dream quarterfinals all disappeared, really, didn't they?
Yeah, because obviously Brighton.
No, well, but
Man City weekend is the only one with any real. I mean,
Liverpool, Everton, Brighton, Sunderland after what happened at the Amex as well. Like for Gus going back to the Amex would have been fucking ridiculous after what happened. And Sheffield Wednesday. It could have been a fucking brilliant set of quarterfinals. Now it's just a bit meh.
Yeah, well, I think the meh draw takes us back to another meh draw, which we touched on briefly, which is the Euro 2016. I just want your thoughts on the tournament being expanded to 24 teams, good or bad?
Bad, rubbish.
See, I'm going to.
They should be pre-qualified. They were talking about this on the show that was just brought up when Hodgson and Neville and Hoddle and the rest of them were talking, and it's absolutely pathetic that these teams are in the
chance.
Well, see, I'm going to play devil's advocate on the tournament in a minute. I agree with pre-qualifying.
If you look
at some of the groups, say
still got a chance. Then.
Group I, for example, you've got Portugal, Denmark, Serbia. Then the minnows are Armenia, who won 4-0 in Denmark. I've got it written down on the back of it. They beat Czech Republic in Prague.
I'm not calling Armenia a minnow.
I know, but they're the kind of team
that are
languishing at the bottom. Yeah. But they're not languishing at the bottom.
And also, France are playing in a group.
France are playing friendlies against all the teams in Group I, because the problem I've had in the past is the hosts have trouble arranging friendlies and therefore lose their ranking position. So this way they're going to play Portugal, Denmark, Serbia, Armenia, Albania in friendlies throughout, so they're guaranteed to have games.
And it evens it out
a bit for him. But Albania as well, and I've got it written down again here, with jumps up reading, they took 4 points off Norway and beat Slovenia in the last qualifying. So they're not bad. There are groups, teams like San Marino.
Nice to see Gibraltar as well.
Great to see Gibraltar.
Scotland might finish below Gibraltar.
Yeah, they were actually drawn in the same group as Spain.
Well, Gibraltar played their first game. Gibraltar played their first game and drew with Slovakia the
other month. That's the tough group.
They're going to be well up for a public final than Scotland. It's not tough for Germany.
Tough for Scotland because they're
Scotland and Ireland.
What about Portugal, Denmark, Serbia?
Yeah, that group has got the most quality throughout. But there is still there's four or five teams who could get
four qualify anyway, don't they, from each group?
Two qualify.
86 teams in the fucking tournament.
Do we think that Wales actually have a chance of qualifying for that group?
I don't think Wales have got a chance of winning.
I think they've got a chance of getting into the playoff.
They're going to finish above
Israel.
They might finish above Israel. They will finish above Andorra. Apart from that, no.
Bosnia and Belgium are tough.
They won't finish above Cyprus.
Cyprus are crap.
So are Wales.
Yeah, but they've got Gareth Bale and
Gareth Bale.
Wales have got a chance to get into the playoffs, but Belgium and Bosnia will walk that.
Aaron Ramsey's gone now anyway. When he comes back, he'll do absolutely nothing. He'll do absolutely nothing.
Yeah. Good to see your usual level-headed argument, Jim.
But yeah, there's a couple of teams that have, I didn't know if you know, but like I think it's Azerbaijan and another team,
Armenia.
They don't want to play each other because of political problems.
Russia and Georgia.
Israel and
Palestine playing Asia now.
Israel and Qatar. We've talked about this before.
Yeah, Qatar doesn't recognise Israel as a.
No, they're not. They're not allowed in.
Qualify for the Qatar World Cup. It's
going to
be.
I think they're going to make an exception though.
National anthems would be good for that one, wouldn't it?
Qatar don't recognise a lot of things: homosexuality, women's rights.
Well, on national anthems,
things like that.
Too right.
Have you heard Kosovo are playing their first friendly against a FIFA team? FIFA are now allowing them to play.
They're playing it in Luton.
They're playing against Haiti in
Haiti,
yeah. Who are actually quite high in the FIFA rankings, bizarrely.
Kosovo.
Yeah. But Adnan Januzaj was asked to play and he said no because he wants to wait until they are officially recognised by FIFA. Yeah. But they're not allowed to play their national anthem or play in any sort of kit logo with the Kosovan flag. and they're not allowed to display the Kosovan flag, and they're not allowed to play any nation.
And they're not allowed to play football.
It. Pretty much, yeah. But they don't
understand. By the
actually, on Januzaj, however you want to pronounce his name, is he actually not going to play any international football and then play for England when he's...
Well...
Is that actually going to happen?
I think the idea is that he's going to wait. If Kosovo get recognised, he'll play for Kosovo. If not, he'll play for England.
Well, like, if he's going to play for Kosovo.
Oh, yeah, no, he wants to. His parents are both Kosovan. He wants to play
really?
For them, but...
Okay.
He can't at the moment. So.
That's like Patrick Vieira.
Really wanted Senegal. To play for Senegal.
Yeah. If Senegal, he just absolutely bumped him off, didn't they? Yeah, that's good.
There's loads like that though. Clarence Seedorf.
Gibraltar playing Scotland, Ireland, and Germany is going to be absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very true.
They should play one of those games against Scotland or Ireland at Wembley. Scotland would fill out as many tickets as you give them.
Yeah.
And I'd go and support Gibraltar against Scotland.
Oh, yeah.
Tickets for £20, I would go. I would buy a Gibraltar shirt.
Do we count Gibraltar as another home nation now? Because it's a British overseas territory.
No, we can't. I don't think players born in Britain can play for
Gibraltar. One of the obscure, Danny Higginbottom plays for
one of the obscure.
No, but his dad, Gibraltar.
Yeah, recognition. Oh, yeah, no, I get what you mean.
So, yeah, you can't just say, I can't just go and play for Gibraltar now, obviously. A, because I'm shit, and B, because I'm not
really. The captain was born in London, Roy Chipperlough or something like that. Arsenal fan.
Yeah. They've got a few English.
I've got no idea where he's played before.
They've got a lad from Farsley Celtic. I think they've only got one professional player in their team, which is fair play to them.
Haven't commented yet, actually, how smart Jim's looking today.
Yeah, he's got a tie on.
I didn't think
he's
it was
got a collared shirt on.
He's made the these podcasts. It's
all visual.
It's
all visual.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying. You're looking dapper.
Chris has come dressed as Shoreditch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dan's wearing a jumper.
Where's a cardigan?
Andy's sort of semi... erect and also semi just smart.
Smart cash.
Cox is wearing the same polo shirt that he wears everywhere.
Yeah.
Happy with that now?
Yeah.
Thanks, Gok.
Let's talk about. Let's
it's
talk
great
about,
to have
let's,
you,
let's talk about. United last night then.
Bro, I did see it, it was the missus' birthday, so I'm delighted.
What a touch that was.
Yeah.
How can you be delighted about.
Of course, I'm not fucking delighted.
Let's not take any away from Olympiakos. They did really well.
Well, they didn't.
They did all right.
I don't think they played well. I thought Man United were really shit.
From what I've heard, it's the worst performance.
Great
goal from Joel Campbell, though.
Yeah,
the nutmeg on, was it Carrick? I think it was nutmeg on Carrick, and then the bottom left hand corner. Great finish.
Can't get a work permit though at all.
I thought it was Sol Campbell.
That's why he's playing.
Is that why he's playing?
He's on your books.
He's an Arsenal player. We've just had to loan him out for the last 3 years. He cannot get a work permit.
Is he Costa Rican?
He is. Yeah. It was a toss up between him and Ryo Miyachi. He's another young. He's from Japan. Another one.
Yeah.
We kept Miyachi. John Campbell cannot get a work permit.
On loan from
European Union.
That's really weird.
It's a shame.
It was Kevin.
Joel Campbell.
Kevin Campbell's still on the books.
Sol Campbell's nutmegged someone and put one in for 25 yards.
speaking of Arsenal / ex-Arsenal, do you see Emmanuel Frimpong versus the BNP?
No.
Anyone see this video?
No.
He actually put this video up on Instagram. The guy is a fucking idiot. It is quite funny. You see him pull up. He's obviously driving around in Barnsley and sees a couple of guys with BNP placards. So he decides to pull over and have a quick chat with them, as you do. And it goes along the lines of he pulls
who,
up.
Who did BNP get in their group for the Euro qualifiers?
He pulls up and just says, and for some, just starts abusing him. He goes, "This is Frimpong going, I'm just trying to earn a living in this fucking country, and you're trying to kick me out, you cunts." This is all quoted, by the way.
That's the C bomb of the week.
Well, there isn't that one. Despite them trying to make out, obviously they realise it was Frimpong. They're trying to be like, no, mate, everything's fine. He concluded with, mate, you are a fucking racist, you've got a bald head.
Oh, of course.
The telltale sign of a racist there.
I mean, the guy's just a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
But
he's looking for
anyway, back to United.
Well, I don't know what more there is to say. Apparently it's the worst performance we've put. I've got a mate.
Just say that a few more times.
Yeah.
Toothless. Absolutely nothing.
Insipid would be a good way to describe it.
I quite enjoyed
hilarious.
It.
Hilarious.
I really enjoyed
hilarious.
It. I really enjoyed it. But anyway.
You know, we all know the issues that are there. What are you going to do?
Get rid of
what are you going to do?
That's it.
What are you going to do?
I,
There was a good tweet last night on Arsblog about, I think if someone said, oh yeah, it's good to see what we've done with Dennis Bergkamp and had our statue, that Man United have gone one further and actually played
by the centre-back. Yeah,
that's actually something I'd forgotten about. Arsenal have got the Dennis Bergkamp statue.
Yeah, we've got two now.
I saw a good point, and this isn't me just trying to change the subject
Do you like the joke, Michael? They're trying to say that Rio Ferdinand was actually a statue and they were playing an actual statue of Rio Ferdinand.
Statues are solid. Rio Ferdinand was anything but.
He did pick up a pretty good yellow card for a dirty foul in the last couple of minutes.
On a serious note, how many leagues between FC United and the Football League now?
FC United are in the Northern Premier Division.
What year could they cross?
7 years.
Wait, so consecutive promotions.
See a few more of those brilliant yellow stars again then, won't you?
Yeah, so it would be 3 years, wouldn't it? Three or 4 years. So if Man United keep going down and they keep coming up.
Well, if you go down, you could in theory have 4 years.
That's what I mean, 4 years, yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be a good derby, that, wouldn't it?
It'd be a cracker. I reckon we'd fill out their new ground in Newton Heath as well.
On
the Dennis Bergkamp statue, and this is a question, are Arsenal, because they've got the statues now for Henry and Bergkamp, is it a bit extreme that you're building statues for pretty much every modern hero that's come out of the club?
It's all part of the Arsenalisation. It's happened a long time ago when we built the stadium.
That sounds like a really horrible disease.
It's actually the old Arsenalisation.
Bad porno.
Hang on, let him finish talking.
So obviously the stadium, if you've ever been to it, it's pretty sterile there. It's concrete, mainly.
I used to live around
brown
there,
concrete. It's horrible. So they've put up a load of signs. It's part of the Arsenalisation. I like that too. Yeah.
Speaking of statues,
would you not be better off building statues of the likes of Tony Adams and Pat Jennings?
I think they're probably on the cards. It's going to happen.
David Hewitt statues.
Yeah, solid bronze is expensive. Yeah,
would you build one of Tony Adams and then purchase Steve Morrow statue on top of it? So when it's a windy day, it falls down and breaks.
It's nice to see you're signing fuck all players, but you've got some lovely statues that have been
lovely
asked
statues.
For, so
hey, that's not fair on Kim Kalstrom.
Who?
Yeah, it's a shame what happened to him. Giroud had a good couple of weeks recently. Obviously didn't play against Munich, but I think he did well against Sunderland.
Well, he had a great shag.
He's been doing very well recently. Getting his rocks off.
His confidence has gone up massively. He's finishing the goal we scored against Sunderland the weekend. He wouldn't have done that this time last year.
What, the tapping?
It was a finish. Yeah, it was a good finish, I think. He wouldn't have done that last year.
It was gifted. It was gifted.
Rzitzky's goal was amazing.
I didn't see it.
How convenient.
Speaking of statues that were, but now aren't, but now ain't. See, Michael Jackson is the new manager at Shrewsbury Town for the rest of the year.
Yeah, he is.
What? Michael Jackson. He's not back from the dead.
Oh, okay.
Was it assistant manager that's been given the reins for the rest of the year?
Graham Turner.
Is that the Michael Fucking Jackson brilliant. Who used to play for Preston?
Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
Can't beat it.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Speaking of legends, have you seen Zinedine Zidane's son is depressingly playing for the France under 19 squad?
Goalkeeper,
isn't he? Very good.
I know he's a midfielder, like his dad. There's a video of him scoring a crack out.
Father like son.
His surname is.
Who's got the goalkeeper? Who's the son, the midfielder that's got the legend that's got the goalkeeper son? Not Schmeichel.
Not a clue.
Dave Valderrama.
No, close.
Brilliant.
No.
Anyway.
Well, no, Zidane's son's called Enzo Fernandez because he's no longer with the mother. He's kept his mother's surname.
And probably you don't want to be labelled with the Zidane.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's a bit of a Jordi on the back of his shirt. And that.
Was he married? Is he a bastard son?
I'm not sure. I couldn't confirm, but he's got a full head of hair, unlike his dad.
Zidane when he was younger.
Maybe he's going to lose
it all at age 24. He lost it when he was younger, though, as well, didn't he? But he had the choice to play for France, Spain, or Algeria, and he's gone for France, like his dad.
Wise choice.
So, well, I would have gone for Spain, but really, you should play for France.
Because Neil's joined Watford as well.
Yes. Yeah. You just read that off my sheet. But yeah.
He's giving away the secrets of the show.
Yes, I have seen that, Joe. I'm glad you brought it up.
You bastard.
Yeah. Signed until the end of the season. And you reckon you've still got something to offer?
Oh, so going back to ex-Gooners, did you see Gallas's magnificent defending playing for Sydney down south?
No.
Down under, even down south. Oh, it's just one of the greatest bits. He's gone to clear the ball like by the penalty spot with his right foot, kicked it with his left foot as he's gone to clear it. No one's anywhere near him, and pretty much fallen over, and the geezer's nipped in and tapped it in the net. One of the most absolutely shambolic Mistrenny you've ever seen.
A bit more Spurs than Arsenal, that though, really, isn't it?
Yeah, or have you he also played for Spurs, Dan.
Oh, he's definitely an ex-gooner. When he fucks up. Oh, he's more of a gooner than he was a Spurs.
Who would you associate him most with? Chelsea, Arsenal, or Spurs? Certainly not Spurs, I would say.
No, it was either Chelsea or I'd say Arsenal, definitely. He was a captain, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
He was an Arsenal, if he's the Arsenal captain,
he's
got to be.
I've forgotten
he played for Arsenal. I don't see him in an Arsenal shirt at all.
Really?
I'd say Marseille personally, but that wasn't the best goal scored in Australia in the weekend, was it? Well, let's talk about it now because it's just got better and better.
It's fucking ridiculous. Melbourne Heart, who still bottom of the league though, just have on an unbelievable run of form.
Gets better and better.
No,
yeah, still bottom of the league.
You haven't been here. They've won four on the trot.
They've won 5 in 6.
How many have they lost before that? If they're still bottom of the pissing league.
They are now only 6 points, I think, or 7 points off the playoff places. They've got an unbelievable run of form. It's fucking unbelievable, Sam. You haven't been here, you don't fucking know, all right?
They have.
Now they're doing really well.
It's back to John Van Schip.
Anyway, they beat Brisbane Roar, who are
top of the league.
Well, top of the league, beating 1-0 at home. It's a fucking unbelievable result. Engelaar with the only goal. The next game is the fucking derby, and Victory are sitting in third. Massive. Unbelievable. Unbelievable result and turn of fortune for the Heart. Different class.
Yeah.
Bigger news in Australia. Have you seen the Mango?
Melbourne Victory have just signed Jeremy Escape, haven't they? You fish off if you want.
Yeah, Escape to Victory. Dear.
Fucking hell. Did you see the giant mango that got stolen?
Yes.
What's that about?
Do you know, it turned out to be a publicity stunt for Nando's.
Really?
Nando's.
What was it?
Yeah.
What happened?
A 6-ton mango. You know they've had these world's biggest, in like they do it in the States as well. Come see the world's biggest mango.
Right.
It's like a 6-ton mango, like 60 feet high. It got nicked, basically, but it turns out it was just a massive publicity stunt for Nando's. No one knows why yet exactly, but I imagine there's some new Nando's mango chicken shit coming out or something. Anyway.
Do you remember the mango flavoured Lilt? I went in like the other day, Jim had a can of Lilt.
Me and
Mike had a business meeting, and I sat there and just popped open a can of Lilt.
You
can buy them upstairs in the Iron Brew. Brilliant.
I'm going up there in a minute. That's great.
And these stale bags of giant strawberries.
Funny
aftertaste,
They should bring back the Lilt ladies.
You know, we've got obviously a massive One Direction following up for the podcast.
Obviously, yeah.
We've challenged the fans many a time to come at us.
We love them. Although
Chris is always challenging 14-year-old girls.
That's the only people I can fight. That's why. Fair chance against them.
Louis Tomlinson is making his debut for Doncaster Rovers tomorrow night.
The reserves, though, isn't it?
In the reserves. Yeah, and we do mock it and we do take the piss. However, 4,000 tickets have been sold and every single bit of the money is going towards Bluebell Woods Children's Hospice.
Good.
So we do take the piss, but the lad, and he was, because he wasn't going to make his debut before.
Yeah. Who was it that twatted him?
Gabriel Bonlaw.
Would he be in the team if he wasn't in One Direction?
No, of course not.
Apparently he's quite a good footballer.
He's a half-decent footballer.
I think he had trials and that, but he's not.
But no, the answer is absolutely not. No, I don't actually.
I should sign Boris Johnson up and get him to do one of those.
That filthy chat.
I'm still not watching that once a week. That Boris Johnson on the Germany.
Once a week, Monday morning.
Yeah. Absolutely brilliant.
To be fair, you've got to say that 4,000 tickets were sold.
Yeah, well done.
That's decent.
Yeah, good luck, mate.
I don't think it's really affecting the integrity of Doncaster Road.
If you're a 15-year-old boy in Doncaster, get yourself down there.
Yeah.
There'll be so much fucking asshole, won't
there? Or a paedophile. Get yourself down there.
Whoa.
It's an open market, isn't it? So
well, going back to nice stories.
Just say that the views of the panelists on the football podcast do represent the views of the whole podcast. Yeah, and it was all.
If you are a paedophile, don't go.
Yeah, if you're a paedophile, stop listening.
If you're a paedophile, you're a cunt.
Yeah.
We've already had one of those this week.
Mine was a quote, though. Yeah. A direct quote.
Yeah. Who's more of a cunt, paedophiles or the BNP? That's the question.
Or Frimpong.
No, I tell you who's not a cunt. We've got to stop saying that. Semih Kaya, Galatasaray Semih Kaya, who in a very rare act of fair play in the Galatasaray game, Besiktas game, told the referee to that it was a corner. It was a ble- it came off him. Referee gave a goal kick. He actually made the referee change his decision. Gave the corner. The referee shook his hand. And they played on. Didn't score from it, luckily, because that would have been a bit shit. But good to see. Yeah. I think good to see sportsmanship in the game.
You know what's not good to see?
What's not good to
Managers
see?
Managers talking about their players behind their back. A la Jose Mourinho.
No, but that's bullshit. That is bullshit. Of course, he can talk. He can say
somewhere.
He can take the piss out of someone behind his back.
It was a tenuous link.
Well, yeah.
To what?
Yeah. To the fact that he's come out and said that Samuel.
Well, he didn't come out.
Well, no, he didn't. He was booked.
This is the. What? Yeah, this is the whole point. It's fucking bullshit, really. I think it's out of order. If he's having a chat with his mate, taking the piss out of Jamie Nesha, going, I'm not even sure how old he is. Could be 45 or something like that's just it's funny. It's a bit of banter. Then you can't come out and use that in the press. And no wonder he's pissed off. Yeah. Because that's not cool, man.
But to be
that's
fair, he was talking about the fact that he had no strikers that Rennie got.
What? And he's not wrong, though, is he?
Yeah, but as a manager, you shouldn't really be saying that, should you?
But he's probably taking the piss.
Yeah.
How old is he, so, anyway?
32.
You don't get the United players coming out saying they've not got any managers that are any good.
Yeah, but they probably do.
Robin van Persie's quite uncomplained about the fact
the rest
that
of his players.
Yeah, but that's the difference between a manager and a player.
But it's also a difference about someone bugging them. They probably are. Yeah. It's probably van Persie's probably sitting there going, that Moyes is a fucking wanker, isn't he?
Yeah.
But no one's bugging him. The problem is,
it just sounds like you're saying no one's buggered him.
I don't think anyone has buggered him. It's private conversations. I think that's bullshit.
I could just see then a flashing Jim's eye of, I want to say something in that. That's not.
No, I haven't been listening for 5 minutes.
Maybe that's it then. Maybe
it's fucking good job. Can you switch off for a bit more every now and again?
New contract got a good performance out of him the other night as well.
Well, there was a classic joke at the weekend.
He did play well against Palace, to be fair.
Well, there was a joke at the weekend that they were complaining about the fact that Palace fans had thrown a pound at him when they were United fans standing the other end throwing $300,000 at him a week. So.
Actually, did anyone see the abuse that was going on? So he went over in the first half to take a corner.
Yeah, in front of the Homestead Inn.
Oh my God. I mean, that was good abuse. Well done, the Palace.
What were they abusing him for? Just being Ray Rooney.
Just for
wearing a different colour shirt.
Make the point, though. The Red Factory in 3 months' time, they'll all be cheering his name at the World Cup.
Yeah, they will.
Or more likely shouting and moaning why we've been not so
That's one of the most hostile corners you could call.
Absolutely fantastic goal, though. And to be fair, I'm quite happy.
Yeah, it was a good goal.
He's absolutely rinsed Man United twice now. He did it the last time he got his contract because they absolutely needed him, and Ferguson was up.
Well, see, I think this
and now he's suddenly renewed his contract when they absolutely can't afford to lose him.
Well, the difference is, I think in 2010 we didn't really need him. We were top of the league. We had Hernandez banging, Berbatov banging him in. But he realised that he couldn't go anywhere else and earn more money, and kind of backed out. This time we've thrown money at him because we're desperate.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like he needs the money.
Maybe he's still not going to fucking. Like,
apparently, the only reason he signed a new contract is Khalid wants to stay in the northwest.
It's all absolutely relative, though. I always think someone like Wayne Rooney, they earn $300,000 a week or whatever. They could just slip me like for them to give me like $50,000 is absolutely nothing. And that's true, isn't it? What? It's absolutely nothing.
Well, out of his pocket, if he just turned around and gave you $50,000.
$50,000, that's what, like a half day's wages, whatever.
Also, half day's wages?
Right, so it's just over a day's wages.
All right, sorry, massively off guard. Yeah. The same point for a tramp probably looks at you. Well, no, he probably looks at you and thinks, "Hi, mate, I recognise you."
Yeah.
Probably looks at you.
See, the geezer who woke up to a tramp kissing his face on a stag do and putting his hand down his
trousers. You're going on a stag do.
It was fucking China. Fucking horrible.
Tramp might look at you.
Similar happened to my mate.
He earns a decent wage.
What's 50p?
For him to give me £20 is absolutely nothing. That's half of it. Like £20, what you earn that in what? An hour or whatever in your job, or maybe not an hour, in 2 hours. It's all relative because you'd never think, oh, for no reason, I'll give that tramp £20.
Yeah, to feel better about yourself.
Exactly.
Hang on, what the fuck has this got to do with him earning money? We're not asking. Are you just having a go so you wouldn't give you $50,000?
No, if someone says, right, do you want $100,000 on your $200,000 wages? He might not need it, but there's no way you're going to say no.
Yeah,
no. You live.
I'm sorry, but that analogy that you just made absolutely no fucking relevance to what you just said.
Should have done. You didn't listen properly.
Speaking of tramps,
my mate once woke up on a sun lounger in Zante, I think, with his pants down, and a fella stood over him, holding his own. Jock Smith. So,
well, as long as he wasn't, as long as he wasn't touching him, I think that's off. All right.
Well, he presumably.
Remember the guys at FFDU kept saying, "Will you stop swirling the ice in your pint glasses?" It's fucking Andy Franks whenever he doesn't have a normal drink, spitting the ice back into his fucking glass.
I can't do the whole ice cube in one go.
From an England perspective, I'm quite happy that that's all done and dusted as well. Because Rooney, this season, you're now out of the Champions League. You're not going to get anywhere near the Champions League in the league. So the only, and you're not going to be in the Champions League next season.
Do the happy dance.
So he's the only thing he's got on the world stage.
1999
for the whole of next year. The only time he's in the world spotlight is for that World Cup.
Yeah,
he's not. It's not like he's got the World Cup.
Contracts are weird.
The only spotlight he's got.
Unfortunately, he's got no excuse.
The only negative particularly is that he's not putting himself in the shop window.
Doesn't matter, particularly now the fact that the England fixtures have come out and he hasn't even got any big fixtures to work towards in England in terms of qualifying for a long time. For him, he's all
the thing is,
that.
He's so close as well now to being England's all time top goal scorer. He's what, 11 goals off Charlton?
Well, he's going to surpass Bobby Charlton at Man United and England now, isn't he? Let's be honest, he'll do both of them.
Yeah, was it? But if
he
had the
air transplant, he could have had a better ball dad as well, but you know, he's messed that one up.
He could have had a decent coma.
But that, if Rooney does stay injury free, that's a big thing for me at the World Cup. Obsessed with Sturridge. Sturridge looks like a world class.
He's playing very well, Sturridge.
Fair play to him. I was reading an article the other day about Sturridge, because when Sturridge was at Man City, he was there before all their money came in, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And then the guy, the Sheikh, came in or what have you, and spent it on.
I read the same article. I know what you're saying.
So you've got
Joe for $17 million, Roque Santa Cruz,
and he was like, right, I'll have to leave it.
Eddie Bayard.
And then he went to Chelsea. Started. Got no looking at Chelsea, went online to Bolton, scored a shitload of goals, went back to Chelsea, and then they started playing on the wing.
He went to Liverpool,
and then he went to Liverpool, and everyone was like, right, he's going Man City, Chelsea, which was a bit of a step down because, although not in terms of club, it was because he was got no chance of getting in there. Now he got to Liverpool, 19 goals in 20 games or something?
He misses a lot of chances.
And to be fair, when he left City, they wanted to get him a new contract, but he was getting more money.
Where was he before? He was at Chelsea as a youth, wasn't he?
He was at City.
Okay.
Yeah.
City bought him back.
Because
he went somewhere before he.
No, he didn't.
He needs to be more consistent. I mean, yes, he's scoring a goal game, but he misses two or three. And he was the reason Liverpool lost to Arsenal. He had two absolutely magnificent chances.
But the other thing is that he's very frustrating. If you play alongside him, obviously none of us have, but...
just to point that out.
But he's very, very selfish and sometimes makes some terrible decisions with the use of the ball as well. And,
I brought out he was quite good and we just... character assassinate him, he's shit again.
No.
Yeah. Fuck him.
It's good to see.
Yeah, he's good to him, but he's also really shit, and I'll explain why. you know, I think he's shit, don't you, Jim? I do, yeah. Mm. Fuck him.
He's better than Akinfenwa.
He's definitely better.
He's not better than Zlatan.
No.
Is he going to have another hat trick at the weekend?
Such a shame he ain't going to be at the World Cup.
Yeah, and I was thinking about this today. You know, he was quoted last week as saying if he'd have smashed it if he'd come to the Premier League. He's 32 now, isn't he? He's still got a couple of years left in him. I still dare to dream that he might just finish his career in the Premier League. Wouldn't he, though? Like, I mean, he's conquered everything else.
He's like Alexander the Great. Eventually, he'll sit down and there'll be a tear in his eye because there's nowhere left to conquer.
But I mean, there's one thing that he hasn't done in his career, basically, apart from win the Champions League. He's smashed it wherever he's gone.
I wouldn't care where he goes. I'd just like to see him in the league.
They pulled out a great little clip from last year against Lille when he got nutmegged by the Lille defender Shadu, who now plays for Galatasaray. And it's the defender who's done a little cheeky nutmeg. And you just see Datan's face he just has a massive grin on his face after he's been nutmegged by the defender. And you can just, and that little wry smile, you think is. I do that every match to people and I've just been mugged off. But he didn't get angry about it, he just laughed about it.
Exactly.
And
I mean, he's like, similar, I remember John O'Shea nutmegging Figo, and I'm just going back to 2003, we won the league.
2003.
We're back there. I'm doing my GCSEs, everything's fine, everything's fine. Fine.
GCSEs in 2003 you were doing?
Yeah.
Fuck me.
Yeah, I know, I'm young, aren't I? Precocious, some would say. Some sad news this week. The two-time European Cup winner and former Portugal captain, Mario Coluna, has died, aged 78. He was captain of them at the 1966 World Cup when they finished third.
See who else died this week?
No.
Igor.
Igor.
Ghostbusters.
Oh, yes, he did.
Egon, isn't it?
I thought you meant Egon Stimac.
No, sorry, Egon. That was quite sad.
Is Egon Stimac still alive? Can someone confirm that for us?
I can't confirm or deny it. But I thought Egon. Yeah, that was quite sad.
We haven't mentioned Osijek in a while.
Who?
The team we used to support in Croatia, probably before your time.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Ghostbusters 3 is never going to be made then, unfortunately.
No.
Well, they can make it, but he won't really
be the same.
Got fat though, didn't he?
Yeah. He wrote Groundhog Day. He wrote loads of films.
Yeah, he was in Olympics.
Talking of good strikers, when we were on the Ibrahimovic show, just go straight back onto football again.
Tenuous links don't work when it was 5 minutes ago.
Did you play?
I've got to get us back on the football.
Did you play alongside Igor from Ghostbusters?
No, but I'd love to see Didier Drogba put the nail in Chelsea tonight.
Yeah, no,
you know, and.
Smells
he weren't offered a new contract when he left. He's still.
I didn't quite realise as well. His last kick ever for Chelsea was the winning Champions League.
I'd love to see him put a performance.
Like his last kick won Chelsea the Champions League. Like, that's massive, and he's going back. I obviously hated Didier Drogba when he was a Chelsea player. Destroyed Spurs, but
yeah.
Taking my Spurs hat off, what a fucking
from a Chelsea player.
Where is it? Tonight's Galatasaray.
Yeah. Okay.
It's going to be a very good game.
Arguably their most successful year.
No English team or Welsh team, if you include Swansea, is that have managed to score yet in this round of European fixtures. So can Chelsea actually score?
Oh, of course, yeah.
What was that, sorry?
No. English-based team have scored yet in the Europa League or Champions League since it all
this
started
round.
Again last week.
This year.
Yeah.
There you go.
Would have been easier, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Well, you know, we don't
and,
do it easier.
And until United lost last night, there have been away wins for every single team.
Yeah, well.
In the Champions League.
Just another reason you're shit, Mike.
Right, there you go, yeah.
Can we talk about Gosport, please?
No.
You can.
Go on, man.
They're bottom of the Skrill South, but they're through to the FA Trophy final at Wembley.
Who folded out the Skrill South the other day? I thought you'd know this. Been in it long league. One of the teams had to fold. Dropped out of the league entirely.
Really?
Which is quite sad. Yeah.
That's a shame. I missed that.
A few days ago. Can't remember who it was. Yeah. Knowledge is a bomb. I apologise. But
Gosport at bottom, they've played about five or six games less than the team. They're about 5 points clear at the bottom, but they've played about five or six games less because of this cup run. But
they beat Havant and Waterlooville in the semi final.
They did. They beat them 2-0 at home.
I heard that on the radio. I remember
you now. Still listen to the radio?
In the car.
They're playing Grimsby as well, so Grimsby are getting them absolute massive favourites for that. But to be bottom of their league and to be now in a cup final, which has got obviously the other teams from all the teams from the conference, North, South, and the Prem, is ridiculous.
Do they
and
still play that at Wembley? Before?
Yeah, it's at Wembley. Yeah. Tickets went on sale.
It's been at Wembley. It's league cup final this weekend.
I remember going to North.
Is it Sunday?
This weekend. Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, you just can't. Well, you say you couldn't see Wigan getting anyone over on City last year.
Yeah,
what
the
Saturday fixtures? Who's on Sky? I don't know.
There's a five. There's
so I'm going to be watching it in Berlin.
Yeah. Well, is that literally why you wanted to just throw in the fact you're going to Berlin, or you want to know who's actually playing?
I was just going to say,
at home.
Yeah, they are Friday night.
Oh, right. Are you going?
Yeah. Well,
if you can get a ticket.
No, you can get tickets. It's in the Olympic Stadium. They average about 30,000, and it holds about 80 or 90.
Oh, right.
And it's about €8 to get in.
Yeah, it's really cheap.
It depends whether or not one of your mates gets whacked.
It's a stag do, so it depends if anyone is still alive at that time in the evening. I want to go, and I am definitely going for a tour of the Olympic Stadium at 12:30 on Saturday.
The 5:30 on a Saturday, I can't remember who it is, but it's a game. It's a decent game. The 5:30 on Saturday. I can't remember.
I know that United aren't playing this weekend.
You get it on your phone.
I won't get 3G in this shit, though.
No, I mean,
I'm not sure we've got enough stories to drag it out by the time we've loaded
Sheffield United. And now top half of League One.
Yeah.
They went into 12th last night with a 1-0 win at Cole U. It's absolutely ridiculous. So
And a good cup run.
They beat us on the Tuesday night. They beat Bristol City home 3-0 and they won last night. So they got 9 points out of 9. I'm not sure what their result was before that.
Yeah, they did.
But I looked at the table this morning. Jills had gone down from 12th to 13th. I was like, what the fuck has put us in the bottom half? Sheffield United. It's just an absolutely ridiculous run of form.
I think it was the whole Brighton game Monday night.
I don't think it's very good, but.
But speaking of the good cut run, I think it was Hull Brighton Monday
features.
Night.
Southampton Liverpool's not bad.
Shut up. I think Hull Brighton Monday night, I think they were saying that, you know, obviously Hull round about the relegation zone. I think the commentator was like, oh, you know, but if they get through the next round of the FA Cup, you know, get on a good, you know, getting a good cup run could be really good for them. I'm thinking, is it? Like, when you're, do you want to be playing in other games and concentrating on other games when you're scrapping in relegation?
The thing that's good for Hull is they're two strikers now. Good bit of business from Steve Bruce, I have to say.
Well, the fact that he can't play him in the FA Cup though makes quite a big difference.
Has there been a worse Premier League fixture list than this? This is Saturday's games and then Sunday. Everton, West Ham, Fulham, Chelsea,
Derby.
Well,
it's not a proper derby.
Yeah, no fest for Chelsea though, isn't it?
Hull versus Newcastle, Stoke v Arsenal,
Shawcross,
and then the one decent game, Southampton, Liverpool.
That's the 5:30, isn't it?
That's the 5:30.
I knew there was one decent game.
So
at
Sunday,
pretty shit. Sunday, Villa, Norwich,
Lambert.
Spurs, Cardiff. Spurs will win that 1-0 or 2-1 or something like that.
What time's that?
Swansea Palace.
Half 4:30.
Half four.
And so what's the Monday game then?
There isn't one. It's the League Cup final.
League Cup final.
Oh, so that so it would,
it
have, been...
It would have been Man City, Man United this weekend. Yeah. They were scheduled to play on Saturday.
Right.
So you
lose ground as well, so that you've got a game in Anfield.
Yeah, it's impossible. That's what worries.
No, but that's not good, is it? You're out of all the cups.
Yeah, losing more ground. Oh no, terrible. Now we're definitely not going to get into the Champions League.
I think we better cut this off.
The game of the weekend is in the Championship, Burnley playing Derby. Which is now second beat first. And also, quickly...
Oh, what happened with Preston Rotherham? Was it 3-2 last night?
2-2. Three.
Did it finish 3-3?
Yeah, yeah. 2-0, 2-0 Rotherham, 3-2 Preston, and then Rotherham equalising the 8th, I think.
Yeah, well, fucking good game. Shame we didn't put the Liverpool Swansea game on Sunday as well. Yeah. That 4-3, yeah. That was a fucking
epic. Yeah, that was
epic.
A good game.
Absolutely. Was that not on TV?
No, that was the one they didn't put on. They put on fucking... Who did they put on instead?
Newcastle Villa.
Just quickly,
it wasn't a bad game though.
Yeah, but it wasn't 4-3.
On Derby, see, QPR lost at Charlton at the weekend. Charlton were second.
They're struggling,
third
QPR, no?
QPR really struggling. When Steve McCurran left QPR, they were 6 games or 7 out of 7 and not conceded a goal. He left to go to Derby. Derby had an awful start. Derby are now third in the league.
Flying.
Above 5 points above QPR or something like that. They're above QPR.
Yeah,
5 points. Oh, there you go. I don't know. I didn't even know I knew that. They're now 5 points above them and they've been flying since then. So, McCurran.
World beater.
One day back for England.
I wouldn't bet against Chelsea it.
Football.
I would not bet against it.
Yeah.
And if you look at in terms of his CV as an England manager, there's not many better CVs out there.
Won the league in Holland.
He won't.
With an unfashionable team.
I don't think he will come back.
No. Or does that state that he's a much better club manager than he's an international manager?
Potentially. But then he only had one crack at it and... Well,
this is a bad crack.
It was a bad crack, yeah, to be fair.
Horrendous.
But, I mean, on that one game, if we'd scraped through that last game against Croatia, then
we would have gone to a tournament. Yeah.
And then no one would have remembered that we had to scrape through on the last day. It's not an easy group, Croatia and Russia,
we do scrape through on the last game anyway.
Bad side.
Yeah. But there was that filthy mistake, wasn't there?
And it was a really shit England team at the time.
Do you know what though? Terrible. I don't fucking like him, so I'm glad that he didn't do well as an England manager.
I could see him as a Man United. Say you got Derby up this season and they do get rid of Moyes because he has another rubbish start to next season, McCarron will be in the frame.
They'd have to get a big name.
You'd have a bigger name than Steve McCarron.
Don't think Man United, don't think they'd go for a big name, don't think Fergie would allow it.
I think he would. There's
none much bigger than the guy that's over at Fulham now. Felix Magath.
He looks like something from Danger Mouse.
He does. He looks like Penfold.
The little mole. He is Penfold. Yeah. It's fucking amazing.
I like what the Fulham or people who have played under him previously. They've said that
he's basically Martin Allen, isn't he?
He makes Martin Allen look like
Lucas Podolski.
He got into his offense. He puts them through a barrier. You would not believe.
Basically, from all I've read, it's short term. He will come in and transform a club. 8 months, 9 months down the line.
All his players are knackered. They're all knackered.
He ain't got much of Fulham yet. So
there was a big story at Bayern Munich when he got Lucas Podolski into his office to talk to him. Sat there for 10 minutes drinking a cup of tea and then said, "You can leave now." Didn't say words to him.
Wow.
And on that note, time to wrap up.
I know the usual score.
Tweet us at Football Podcast.
Mike Cox and wrapping up. forward/team football podcast,
isn't it?
Well, you know, it's winter.
We had to bounce down here, apparently, according to Coxon. He's out there with the
actually,
kids.
Yeah, we didn't come down to the pubs. We bounced.
Chill, lads.
See you later.
Getting another time.